Luke chapter 22, and I'm reading from verse 7, from the Message. This is our founding story. The day of unleavened bread came, the day the Passover lamb was butchered. Jesus sent Peter and John off, saying, "Go, prepare the Passover for us, so we can eat together." And they said, "Where do you want to do this?" And he said, "Keep your eyes open as you enter the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him home, then speak with the owner of the house. The teacher wants to know, 'Where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will show you a spacious second-story room, swept and ready. Prepare the meal there." So they left, and they found everything just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was time, he sat down, all the apostles with him, and he said, "You have no idea how much I've looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God." Taking the cup, he blessed it and then said, "Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I won't drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives." Taking bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Eat it in my memory." He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant written in my blood, blood poured out for you. Do you realize that the hand of the one who's betraying me is at this moment on the table? It's true that the Son of Man is going down a path already marked out. No surprises there. But for the one who turns him in, turns traitor to the Son of Man, this is doomsday." And they immediately became suspicious of each other and began quizzing one another, wondering who might be about to do this. Within minutes, they were bickering over who of them would end up the greatest. But Jesus intervened. Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. Who would you rather be? The one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? You'd rather eat and be served, right? But I've taken my place among you as the one who is here to serve. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Welcome. If you're new and you're visiting, I know one or two of you are here for the very first time. You're really welcome to what's not a, probably a, quite a typical service, but an experience of worshipping God together. And what you won't know if you're new or if you've been away for quite a bit of the summer is that we've been through a series over the last few weeks. We've been following the life of Peter. We haven't completely abandoned Peter at this point, but we're just landing. And our title this morning is around sharing on the journey together. Peter was somebody who worked as a Christian believer alongside other people. And he shared that journey initially with Jesus and the disciples and then with co-workers later. So sharing the journey together. But as you see from that slide, we're going to have the communion service, that sense of what Jesus did with his disciples in the reading we've just had, at the centre of what we're going to think about. So, I wonder how you keep family memories alive. We were at Cameron and Hannah's reception yesterday afternoon, and there were some memories that I suspect Cameron would rather they hadn't kept very alive, and certainly not rehearsed in front of all their best friends and colleagues who now knew them as grown-ups. Families do keep quite odd memories alive, don't they? Quite often the thing you wish they'd forget. But I wonder how you keep family memories alive. I wonder what stories you tell when you get together with your family. I wonder what conversations you have, perhaps around the Christmas dinner table. Do you remember that time Uncle so-and-so did the unmentionable? Do you remember when that child said, "Oh, you're really old," to the lady on the bus? That's one of our stories. There are stories that we rehearse all the time, aren't there? And we tell them to our children. And, you know, the stories that we share with one another have an impact on how we view life and how we grow and what we understand about the world around us, both as children and as adults. If we tell our children really discouraging stories, they're not going to grow up with a particularly positive view of God, are they? But if we take a moment just to tell them a story of something God has done, how might that change them? So I'll just give you one example. So when our children were young, we prayed with them about a car. We had four children, so we didn't fit your standard family car, and we couldn't afford the big ones that were around at the time, and we didn't really know what to do, short of lashing one of them into the boot, which actually we did do later on before we realised it probably wasn't a great idea. We used the luggage straps and lashed a baby seat into the boot of a large estate car for a few weeks. I wouldn't do that again. But we were in a bit of a quandary, and so we were praying about cars, and we had some prayer times with our children. So one of the stories that we tell in our family is how God provided us with a car. We actually ended up with a Renault Estate, which had three rows of seats, which Steve's dad, bless him, had found on the Northern Irish coast and had shipped over for us. That story is now being told in my daughter's family because she, with her children, has been praying for a car. They've had to give their car up. They've been praying for a car, and unbeknown to them, a new Christian in their church had heard about this and had started a bit of a fund. So I spoke to her at the weekend. She said, you know, we've been praying for a car. I've just had a phone call. They've raised £5,500 to buy us a car. This is a tiny church of people who are mostly on benefit, have raised £5,500. She remembered our story. She's telling her children their story of God providing. That story is going to ripple down the generations. There's something about keeping stories alive, isn't there, that makes a difference. So just for one minute, you won't all get a turn. Turn to the people in your row or your family and just think, is there a story we could share together or remember? It may just be a really positive story. It may be something that's happened recently or something that happened a while ago. And just say, well, this could be a story that I could share again. So just take one minute just to do that. So I am going to interrupt you so that we can keep moving. But I'll suggest that over coffee, you might tell some more stories. And as parents, perhaps I could really encourage parents to think about the stories that you're sharing with your children and how you might just keep rehearsing the stories of the goodness of God, if you can get them to hear you, to listen. So we're going to move on. So we're on a journey together, and the stories we tell on that journey make an incredible difference. And one of the things that the children of Israel knew was that regularly rehearsing a story together gave them a confidence in their shared identity of God and how he worked with them. They rehearsed those stories together. I'm going to show you a very, very short video. That's just a recap of one of the stories that the children of Israel would have shared together every year.
Passover is a major Jewish holiday. It commemorates the Jewish people's liberation from slavery in Egypt over 3,000 years ago and their march into freedom in the land of Israel. Passover lasts about a week, and on the eve of the holiday, families and friends get together for a very special meal called the Passover Seder. My favorite memory as a kid was looking for the afikomen, a little piece of matzah that was hidden by the adults, and the tradition goes that the first kid to find it gets a prize. One reason that we eat matzah for Passover is that when the Jews were escaping from Egypt, the bread they baked didn't have time to rise. The matzah symbolizes humility and simplicity. It's just flour and water.
The Passover Seder is really not just about the food. It's full of learning and discussion, storytelling, and even singing together.
Kids get very involved in Passover discussions and are encouraged to ask a lot of questions. Passover is also called the spring holiday, and a lot of people enjoy it by hiking together in beautiful, blossoming fields. For centuries, no matter where in the world, the Passover Seder would conclude with the song, Next Year in Jerusalem. That's it from the Bible Lands Museum in Jerusalem. Happy Passover from Israel.
So it's very short, but we're actually entering into that story, that remembering in the Bible reading we had today. And what I really liked about what she said is the way that she said children took part. They had activities to do. They shared a big family meal together. So it wasn't formal teaching, it was experience, things they could remember. and they were encouraged to ask lots of questions. I think that's a really good way to share our stories and to learn. What is this telling us about God? What are we learning together? So I'd really encourage us to think about the stories that we're creating as part of our family memory, or as part of our church family memory, the stories that perhaps we tell each other when we do meet over coffee, and to consider that, because remembering is really important. Now, if we just go on to the next slide, the Luke 22 slide. Jesus takes time on a journey which he knows is leading him to the cross, in which he could do 1,000 different things. But he makes preparation to share this meal that we've just seen. He makes preparation to organize and arrange it. Go and make preparations for the Passover. He was continuing to remember what had happened because it was so important. And then I really like this next verse from our reading as well. It's from the NIV version, the Pew Bible version. Jesus reclined at the table. What does that tell us about Jesus? It tells me he's not in a hurry. It tells me he feels really at home being with people. It tells me this is a celebration he wants to properly experience and enjoy with his disciples. He's not going to rush through it like it's a kind of process that just has to be ticked off his list. And finally, this other verse from our reading, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you. Jesus knew that this was going to symbolize a new story for the disciples, a new lesson for them to share together. He couldn't wait to share this meal, because actually what he was going to do was change the story. See, the story that was being celebrated in our video is the story of Jesus liberating and setting free the Jews from oppression in Egypt. They passed over, they got out, they escaped, God delivered them and set them free. And right in the middle of this story, Jesus begins to take it on himself and says, actually, now we're beginning to remember me, because I'm about to go and do something that will set you free. So it's a complete change to the story, isn't it? Jesus is entering into the story. He takes time with his disciples for our sake to revise that story so that it can be told with Jesus at the center. He both looks back to Egypt, to the deliverance of God, and he puts them forward to the deliverance that he's going to bring. And then on the next slide, it says that he begins to say, as he picks up the wine they would have always shared at this feast, he begins to say, this is my blood. This is what it's going to cost for me to give you your freedom today. This is what I'm going to do for you. So when we share this bread and this wine together, we're entering into both the old story of a God who delivers and sets us free, and the new story of a Jesus who inhabits that story and makes it alive for us because of what he's done. It's really important that we take time to remember that. And then just finally, you know, I'm really struck in this story about how simple things are. It's simple bread, it's a simple drink, it's a simple meal. In fact, later in Acts, people are told off for making it a fancy meal, aren't they? It's a simple meal together. It takes some time. There's a bit of serving going on. It's really interesting that the Christian faith has a story in it of humility and simplicity that every person here can take part in. It doesn't have to be theological and complicated and deep to be powerful and meaningful and encouraging. We all have a gift in this story that we're witnessing together today that we can share with our family, with our friends, with anyone who asks us. Look at what Jesus has done in this story. Jesus saying, this cup is the new covenant, the new promise in my blood, literally acted out in front of us. Do you remember we've been following Peter all along in our series? And in a few days' time, after this meal, after Jesus has died and been raised, Peter will stand in front of a crowd and he will point to that verse and say, do you remember what Jesus said? He's died now and he's been raised again. He's done it so that you can be free. Repent and believe. That's the story that Jesus would pass on in the future, not just a ritual. The communion service isn't just a habit. It doesn't define us because we're Anglican. It reminds us that we belong to Jesus. It's about him and it's about his life. The story we want to rehearse again today is a story we need to take hold of afresh every day so that we can pass it on, so we can share it in Alpha, so we can live it out with our friends, so that we can come every time we come back and remember, this Jesus did this for me. If we trust in Jesus dying for us, his new covenant promise, like the covenant God made with the Israelites in the past, his future promise is that he will forgive us and he will set us free. Interestingly, Jenny and Tom had to give their car back, and the debt wasn't paid. They had to give it back. They paid for half it. You know those car schemes where you buy a car over 3 years and at the end you don't actually own the car at all. You've just paid a bit of the debt. Their debt wasn't paid. When we celebrate this together now, we're remembering that our debt is paid in full. That is a story worth remembering together. Now this last slide, it's a modern take on the Last Supper because it doesn't have particular people in it. So I just wanted to say at the end that you are invited to this table, whoever you are, however you've come this morning. The invitation of Jesus is to take a seat at this table, to believe that the blood and the bread that is shared at this table was shared for you, and that you are invited into the freedom that he offers. And if you confidently and boldly come and take your place at this table week in and week out, then the challenge for you is to remember to tell that story to somebody else, to share that story and be encouraged that the simplest ways are often the best. You may not know the right Bible verse to quote, you may not remember the theology behind it, but you can say, well, we take bread and wine because Jesus gave his life for us, and we remember that together. And the oldest to the youngest of us can all share that story.